Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome along here to church. It's great to see you here at Barney's. My name is Albie. I'm one of the ministers here. And welcome to our Easter Sunday service. And can I add my welcome to Mitch's, that if you're here for the first time, hopefully you can come back next week for church itself, as well as a free lunch, just as the extra incentive. A good way to actually meet people and be part of that community, in a sense. Now, there was an ad on television a number of years ago. It was an ad to spruik that particular channel, where they got these different celebrities who are part of that channel to share their Easter blessings. And it caught my attention because as these different celebrities were getting up, quite a few of them were wishing that the people that were watching, they were wishing them to share in the Easter spirit. And it got me thinking because I actually don't know what that is. What is the Easter spirit? You know, the idea of the Christmas spirit, I get that. At Christmas time, it's about giving and sharing and family. That sort of makes sense. But what is the Easter spirit? Not sure what you came up with in your different groups, but as you do, I decided I would look it up on Google. What is the Easter spirit? A couple of searches came up. There's a building in the city in Bangaroo to celebrate the spirit of Easter. They've put up these art decorations. And they've got these staff members giving out Easter eggs to people. There's a property website that has some decorating ideas to get you into the spirit of Easter. And so they talk about decorative candles, flower arrangements, and even an Easter egg tree, which I didn't even know that is a thing. And I've got a picture up there on the screen to sort of give you a sense that there's an Easter egg tree, which actually looks a little bit sad. But none of those websites actually said, what is the spirit of Easter? Now, if I was going to choose something from today's passage that said, here is the Easter spirit, this is what Easter is all about, I think it's there in verse 8. Kind of a strange verse. The women are hurrying away from the tomb, and you see how Matthew describes how the women are feeling. They're afraid, yet filled with joy. It's a strange description, isn't it? Fear and joy at the same time. Now, we often don't think about Easter like that, at least not the fear part. Easter is usually about fluffy bunnies and Easter eggs, and if you've got a kid in kindergarten to year two, it's about Easter hat parades. But Easter is bigger than that. Fear and joy. I suspect that's not what the celebrities had in mind about the Easter spirit. But it's going to help us to understand, to see what Easter is all about. It'd be great if you got your Bibles open. That was read out for us, Matthew chapter 27, 28. We're going to look at that passage that Matthew read out to us, appropriately named, as we look at Matthew chapter 27, 28. And we start off with the first point, fear. Fear when the earth shakes. Now, I think I'm going to probably have to get Noddy to control it from the back if this is not going to work. Fear when the earth shakes. If you were here on Good Friday, Mitch preached to us about what happened just before the events here in these chapters, things that happened 3 days ago. Jesus was abandoned by his friends, by Judas, even by God. At a human level, we actually see that the Jewish leaders, they've been planning and plotting and scheming. They want to get rid of this upstart called Jesus. And so, in the chapters just before, there's a dodgy trial, a cruel and public execution of the Son of God. And we pick up the action again at the end of chapter 27. The chief priests and the Pharisees, they're the Jewish leaders. They go to Pilate, the Roman governor, and they say to him in verse 63, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." Now, make no mistake, the chief priests do not expect a resurrection. They just don't want to take any chances. They don't want there to even be rumors of a resurrection. They want this Jesus guy completely out of the picture, completely shut down. Pilate said, "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure. by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Nothing is being left to chance here. They are being thorough. They don't want reports of Jesus coming back to life again. There's no loose ends. The tomb is safe, completely secure. Except it's not. See what happens at the start of chapter 28. All their hard work, all their careful calculations gets undone in an instant. Verse 2. There was a violent earthquake. No one saw that coming. Or their security. It's not even a contest. Because this is God who's doing the earthquake. Take a look at the rest of verse 2. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Kind of reminds me of that scene from Ocean's 11, that remake version with George Clooney, Matt Damon. There's a scene in Ocean's 11. They're trying to break into the vault where all the money is being kept. And in the vault, there's all this high-tech security, weight sensors, pressure plates, the whole shebang. But one of the crew of Ocean's 11, he's this little acrobat guy. And so he's sort of snuck his way in there, and he gets out of this trolley that he's in, and he does this backflip. Skips over all the security, and he lands exactly where he needs to be. And he's sitting there on the shelf with a little smile on his face. That sort of reminds me of the angel here as he's sitting on the rock. It's almost like he laughs at the security. He's sitting there on the rock. It's laughable. It's kind of humorous. But not for the soldiers. For the soldiers who are part of that machine that had killed the Son of God, that put Jesus to death, there is nothing funny about this at all. See what the angel is like in verse 3. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, all this talk of you don't expect this sort of thing to happen. And you're not supposed to expect this thing to happen, not in the day-to-day, because what is going on here is unique. If there is a God, and if Jesus is the Son of God, then big things should happen. And that's what's going on here. This is one of those sit up and listen moments, because Easter is big. God is doing something unique. God is doing something huge on Easter Sunday. It's a picture of fear. The guards are terrified, and they should be. There's fear when the earth shakes. But the message is completely different for the women who are looking for the tomb. The angel says in verse 5, do not be afraid. And again in verse 10, they see Jesus, and he says, do not be afraid. That's the message for those who trust in Jesus. At Easter, there is fear when the earth shakes, and there is joy when heaven speaks. And that's our second point. Noddy, can you go to the next slide? Take a look at verse 5. See what the angel says to the women. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. This is incredible news. It's not that the body is missing, that grave robbers have stolen the body, or that the disciples have stolen the body. You see, that's actually the story that the chief priests, they come up with that idea. And they circulate it in verses 11 to 15 that comes right after our section. When the chief priests find out what happens, they bribe the guards. And they tell the guards in verse 13 to tell others that the disciples stole the body while we were still sleeping. And if they get in trouble by the Roman governor, the priests will take care of it. Now, I don't know if you've heard that theory before, that theory that maybe actually the disciples stole the body and they just told people that Jesus had come back to life again. But he didn't really. That a small group of followers somehow managed to steal the body when this entire squad of hardened soldiers happened to be asleep all at the same time. And to add on top of that, a few weeks later, these disciples are fearlessly preaching that Jesus has come back to life again, even to the point where they are killed for that. If they know that this is a lie, that would not happen. The disciples stole the body. It makes no sense. Now, the angel's also not saying, that Jesus has come alive in your hearts. He's not saying that the memory of Jesus goes on and so you've got him here in your hearts. This is a physical, real resurrection. See what the angel says in verse 6. Come and see the place where he lay. The body's gone. It's the same in verse 7. He has risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. A real, genuine, physical resurrection. Jesus was dead. He was crucified. He was buried. His heart stopped pumping blood. His lungs stopped taking in oxygen. He was dead for 3 days. Now, 3 minutes, maybe you might come back to life again if you've been resuscitated. Not after 3 days. Heart starts pumping again. His lungs start breathing. And as the women are running to tell the disciples in verse 9, four little words with huge consequences. Suddenly, Jesus met them. The guards and the women both agree that the tomb was empty. The guards' explanation makes no sense. The disciples stole the body when we were sleeping. The women hear heaven speak. He's not here. He has risen. And then they see Jesus. Now, just a little bit of a side point. There's four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the accounts, the records of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. In each of the Gospels, it's the women who are the first ones to either see Jesus or to hear that he's come back to life again. Now, that's just one of those little interesting tidbits that if we know our history, it just has that ring of truth. It points to the fact that this is something that's been written down and recorded, not made up. Back in those times, now I'm not actually saying that this is a good thing, but back in those times, a woman's testimony could not be used in a court of law. It just wasn't accepted. Now again, I'm not saying that's a good thing, it's just part of the society back then. Now here's the thing, if you're making up a story about the resurrection of Jesus, if you're trying to convince people that this is actually what's come true, even though they've sort of made it up, you do not put the part about the women here. They are not reliable witnesses according to their law courts. You only put this in here if this is actually what took place. Again, it's got the ring of truth that this is not just a made-up story. You don't make it up this way. This is written down for us to know what took place 2,000 years ago. And it's not just the women who see Jesus. In other parts of the Bible, the disciples see Jesus. Paul, who is an enemy of Christianity, he sees Jesus. Two men on the road to Emmaus, over 500 people see Jesus alive again. All of it points to the fact that Jesus came back to life. The women hurry away, afraid but filled with joy. Fear when the earth shakes, and joy when heaven speaks. What does all this mean? Not if you can go to the next slide again. There's at least three things placed 2,000 years ago. What does all this mean for us? It means that Jesus is Lord. He said that on the third day he would be raised from the dead. And he did. Verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Now, friends, that's the only response to who Jesus is. One day, we are all going to meet God face to face, all of us. And God is going to ask us, did we take Easter seriously? That Jesus died and he came back to life again? That Jesus is Lord? What did we do with that? We ate a lot of Easter eggs. We had a family dinner, a family lunch. We went to the Easter show. We binged on Netflix. We came to church, but the rest of the year we were too busy for God. Is that our response? Or are we going to see Jesus and bow down and worship? Jesus is Lord. It also says that sin is forgiven. Again, the next slide. Sin is forgiven. Mitch preached on Good Friday that Jesus faced the judgment of God so that we don't have to. All my sin, all the times that I've turned my back on God, I've lived my own way instead of God's way, all my guilt, everything that I have done wrong, and everything that I will do wrong, all of that is gone. That's what it means for sin to be forgiven. It's gotten rid of. Have you ever wished that, you know, you can have a fresh start and do something all over again? Maybe you've made a mistake, you made a bad decision, could be at work, you messed up pretty badly. Wouldn't it be great if there was this button that you could just reset everything and just do it all over again? Especially when it comes to relationships. That's what Jesus does. Everything that we have done to mess up our relationship with God, our maker and our judge, Jesus gets rid of it. He fixes it up so that we can have a relationship with God as our Father. A perfect relationship. Jesus is Lord. Sin is forgiven. Death is defeated. Just as last slide there, Noddy. When Jesus comes back to life, he has defeated death. And now he gives new life. He gives eternal life. And Jesus is the proof. Pete Evans is a celebrity chef, or at least he was. He was one of the judges for My Kitchen Rules. He's made the news again recently. And so there was a news a couple of days ago because he's been spotted after a few months of silence and he's sporting a new haircut. I have no idea why that's made the news, but it's actually in quite a few different websites. Pete Evans has been seen again, but back in 2020, he made the headlines for a different reason. He was selling a product called the Biocharger. It was a device that emitted this subtle energy that invigorates the body, and it could even treat COVID-19. And even better, you could buy it from his website for $15,000. The Therapeutic Goods Administration rightfully took a look and had an investigation. After an investigation, they fined him $20,000 in a cure. You had better make sure that it works. That there's actually proof that it does what it says it's going to do. Easter is the cure for sin. Easter is the cure for death. How do you know? Because Jesus came back to life to prove it. If he stayed dead, what good is that? There's a lot of people who do good things, say good things, religious leaders, but they die and they stay dead. But if Jesus came back to life again, that changes everything. Death is defeated, eternal life, and he guarantees it. I asked at the start, what's the spirit of Easter? Fear and joy. Easter is declaring to us that Jesus is Lord. Our sins can be forgiven. Death is defeated. Easter eggs, Easter bunnies, hat parades, that Easter egg tree, as nice as they are, Easter is bigger than that. Easter is everything. And the question is Easter everything to you? If you're new with us or you're not sure who Jesus is, it's great to have you with us. Can I say, keep coming to church. We open the Bible every week. It's great to come along. We run a course called Christianity Explored. It might be something that you might want to sign up to. It's a way to actually work out who Jesus is as we work our way through Mark's gospel. Because either Easter is real or it isn't. It's one or the other. If it's fake, then you can ignore it. It's a lie. It's a nice-sounding lie, but it doesn't matter. If it's real, Easter changes everything. This morning, if you are a Christian, Easter is exciting. In the brokenness of our world, there is a ray of light that breaks through. It shouts to us that Jesus is Lord and nothing can stop what he's doing in the world. He's King. It shouts to us, all the things that you've done wrong, it's forgiven. Not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Complete confidence in eternal life, because he has conquered the grave, and so will we. And so this morning, like the women 2,000 years ago in verse 9. Come to Jesus, grab hold of him and worship. Will you do the same? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for what it means, not just over this weekend, but what it means for life in eternity. Thank you that Jesus did die on the cross to take the judgment that we so richly deserve. He took the punishment for us. And as he left the tomb 2,000 years ago, it declares that Jesus is Lord, that sin is forgiven, and that death has been defeated once and for all. Help us to live in light of Easter, that we might come to Jesus, bow down and worship. And we pray this in his name. Amen.